November 30, 2021, it's a Watt for Pedro show.
You ever listen to that record much?
Only when at the time that it came out, I used to listen to it and wonder what happened to me.
What do you mean?
Well, it was sort of a surprising thing to hear this back, you see, because, I don't know, it came back another way.
How did it come back?
Well, it was a little longer than I thought it was.
Mm-hmm.
And it had quite a bit of a fairly good amount of intensity in it, you know, which I hadn't quite gotten into a record recording before.
You were pleased with it? I think it's
to a degree. I mean, not that I could sit there with it and, you know, love it forever.
Well, I know you'd never be pleased with anything you do so long in the week.
I realized that I'd have to do that or better, you see. And then,
show. Happy Tuesday. Started off with John Coltrane talking to Frank Kosky about Chasing the Train, November 1966.
Whoa.
Then the game fought after that with litigious Mike Love. You can probably tell by that other voice, people, I am not man alone, but because of those Stonian software engineers with their Skype invention, I got Eric Franschke with me. Welcome aboard, Eric.
Hey, thanks for having me. It's a great pleasure.
Yeah, absolutely. And we got to give credit to Brother Steve Bono for making the connect, correct?
Yes, that is correct. Thank you, Stevie.
Eric, what town are you talking to me from?
It is 1 p.m.
No, town, T-O-W-N.
Town, St. Paul, Minnesota.
Yeah, Turf Club.
Yes, I'll you know it.
Also home, Grand Heart.
That's right.
Yeah, and it's in the Studebakers.
That is right.
I miss that brother much. Man, I loved him very much, very much. But anyway, so we're talking about, yeah, the east side, right? And you know, it's a trip. You probably toured and stuff, maybe. We'll get to that part of your musical journey. But 35E, 35W. You go through Iowa, you go through Oklahoma, you get into Texas. Again, 35E, 35W. Not a coincidence, I don't think.
Wow.
Anyway, let's talk about you. Like that John Coltrane tune he covered, right? I want to talk about you. Maybe Billy Strayhorn, I don't know. But anyway, Eric, please bring your earliest musical recollection.
Oh, man, earliest musical recollection.
Yeah, there's echo in here.
That is deep.
I know, but remember, it's a Watt for Pedro show, so there's no hard questions, there's no wrong answers.
I got to think about that, man. I've never thought about that particular question. You know, it's always about like shows and records. So I'm like, there has to be something there.
Well, a lot of cats talk about riding in the car with their folks in the AM radio, right?
Yeah, it definitely is that. There's no doubt about that.
But other cats, they tell me they were hearing stuff inside the mom's womb and shit like that.
Yeah, you know, I can't vouch for that. But yeah,
no,
you know that.
Either.
Sure, all those car rides with AM radio and for sure.
Let me ask you this, Eric. In the pad you grew up, was it St. Paul?
I grew up in Winona, Minnesota.
Okay, Winona.
Downriver.
Right. The Big River people.
Yes.
It starts little, though.
Yeah.
I visit Greg Norton, Sporting Greg Norton where was it, Red Wing? You can almost walk across it, right? Yeah.
Okay, that's right.
Step across. Was there musical instruments in that pad?
No, none.
Okay. What about your folks have record collection? You have older brothers or sisters?
I am one of those strange creatures called an only child.
Ah,
so. No older brothers or sisters, but my mom.
You know who was an only child? Sid Barrett.
Really?
Beefheart. I wouldn't shit you, Eric.
Well, I get it. Wow. Well, then, okay. Then that helps me out a little bit. That gives me some perspective.
Although, you know what Ryan Cooter said about, you know, because he helped make that first Beefheart album. And there's the Michael Barnes great book on Cat Beefheart. And anyway, he says, yeah, let's get a little brown shirt. Okay. Continue, please. I just put that out there.
Well, you know, I think there's a kernel of truth in that, for sure.
But record collection, your folks, did you ever listen to, like, did they play the radio? Did they play the stereo?
Yeah, my mom had had a very interesting record collection. Like, my dad really didn't have records. He liked music, but not really actively. But my mom had a decent record collection. So that's kind of where I went. It was back in this closet, and I had to kind of go in there and kind of search, almost like going into a gold mine or something.
The Velvet Gold Mine.
It was, yeah.
With Ronnie Ashton. The guy 3 feet in front of me sitting there playing TVI. It wasn't a record. It was the actual
man. No, oh, man.
I almost foamed over.
I was happy,
that Todd Haynes movie. Let me ask you this. First record you bought with your own money?
Well, I know the first 45 I bought.
Yeah, that's what I meant. It don't mean on the medium, just the first. You know, when you're a kid, you ain't got a lot of money. So when you spend it, right?
Yep.
Yeah, okay.
It was Goodbye Stranger by Supertramp.
Yeah, sure. That voice.
that's where my needle kind of drops in the continuum. You know, that's like late 70s.
Yeah, trippy, kind of theatrical rock, right? A little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's
music. I don't think with multimedia, but like their music was kind of like, yeah.
Yeah, because like that tune was actually, I think, made a big impression because it's kind of this journey where it's, kind of mellow, and it gets very dramatic, and it's has a lot of different episodes and kind of scene changes in it, sort of.
A little Bohemian Rhapsody. Look, what was the first gig you saw?
Now, this is some Midwest stuff. So it was like the whole family, including grandma, going to see Kenny Rogers.
Whoa, okay.
So it wasn't going to Ron Ashton, you know what I mean?
But you know, here, what did he have, that Lighthouse? He had a right, Mary, Love Goes Where Rosemary or so. He, before he did the country thing, he had like a pop thing too.
I think though, was it the fifth? Well, not Fifth Dimension. No, what is it?
It was called Lighthouse.
First edition. Yeah.
And his brother ran a fucking label in Houston that had 13th floor elevator, Crayola, moving sidewalk. Yeah, artist international.
Really?
Yeah, I wouldn't shit you. What about at school? Were you in the marching band or the choir or shit like that?
I was in orchestra.
Playing what?
Because that was the first
playing
thing
what?
That came through.
Eric,
playing bass.
Bass?
Playing
bass. You're talking about the stand-up, the big giant violin without a chin part.
That is right.
Okay.
That is right.
Did you pick it?
Yeah, they just let you pick, and really no one else chose bass, but that wasn't the reason.
Okay, let me ask you, you know, I'm a little prejudiced towards this instrument, so I want to know why you picked that.
Well, I think at that time I had been playing drums for a little while.
Oh, okay, tell me about that. How'd that happen?
It was weird, man, I have to say. Maybe about 6 months before that, maybe a little longer, I was supposed to go to school one day, and I just said to my dad, I don't know, I'm sick today. I can't go to school.
Okay, I'll buy your drum set.
No, that was a lot improv there. Oh, man. Well, it was very similar. Like, I had destroyed a toy drum set earlier that Christmas.
Oh, the ones with the little paper heads and shit.
You got it. And I pulled that out of the
Ask you, why did you get that?
And started drumming.
Yeah, let me ask you though, because you got that as a gift, was it on some kind of wish list?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, because you know, I like the early things that draw people to instruments, even though they might not fucking end up in it, right? But so I'm wondering, what got you into drums? You know, if I was Fuhrer of all the school system, you couldn't graduate without playing drums. I want everyone to be a drummer. Then we can do all kinds of music better.
Oh, man, especially in elementary school. I mean, everyone would want to get it.
Ah, with
the
grown-ups, too, though, Eric. And you got to visit some.
They can go last.
The other rule is you got to visit some foreign countries. That's it. That's Watt's pronouncements. So you destroyed this kit, and what, they get a replacement one's a real one?
Yeah, they got me... maybe a practice pad first, but then I got a snare drum.
Okay. So you didn't have the trap. You know why it's called the trap set, right?
Oh, please tell me.
It's an abbreviation. Contraption. You know, it's invented in New Orleans. It was just all like schmas, right? Cobbled together, kind of.
Yeah.
You know, improvising. Some gongs from China and some, you know, conga kind of drums to be like, It's a trip. Larry Mullins educated a lot on me on it. So you didn't start with the whole kit. Well, the little kid's kit was a whole set, but fuck. And then a practice pad to a snare. But then when you get to school, you get to do music in school, you pick the bass.
Yeah.
I think it's connected. I know a lot of people say four-string guitar, but I say four-string drum set. I've been going more and more that way. I think that's what Jane Jameson was telling us.
I think you're right. I think I also saw, you know, I was by that point, by the time they were recruiting for orchestra, I was definitely down with music. And
swing days, right? Guitar, piano, bass, drums. We were all in the rhythm section. It was no separation in those. There's no amplifiers yet, right? Everybody had eighth notes like, look, you gave me this music, some more gang fun. You haven't listened to, you have... had to have Red Beowulf.
Tony Driver. You're all in a spin.
Falls still on concert, Leadgate and Dells, She's a Wow.
Pedro show, that chunk of music started off the gang font. You haven't lived until you have had to read Beowulf. I think I fucking said it wrong last night. That's a problem with long titles. No, it's a problem with retarded readers.
Well, and that song features your old pal, Greg Norton.
Look, I was going to get to that shit because he liked me, the fact he was a gang fauner.
Yeah.
Soon after he fucking got in the boat with us and went to Omaha to do some box solo to open up a Missing Man gig. Yeah, he had a good time in his life. Okay, he's Porcupine Man now, though. But we'll get to him. We'll get to him. Taff Falco, brand new Tony Driver. 5-song EP. During this situation, record overseas, I got to be on two of them, but not this one. Springtime. Some proj, collab, yeah. The Viaduct's Love Suicide. Yeah. Joyful Noise, great label, and they put together some other stable to this project. And Thud, after that, Real Love. Cedric Noel, brand new on Joyful Noise. Hold On Losing. Sabla, her new album, Ground Loop. Bronze Age UFO, Lagoon Monster, Rubber Mask, Volume 4 now, Part B3. This thing with the mouth harp, right? How many fucking cassettes can we get out of one of those? SLWCC Watt, from not too far away, Iowa City. Sam Lockhart, I got a collab with. This is our cassette EP. And one of the good ones, Husker Du. Now, this is the time, this record was put out by D. Boone and myself on New Orleans Records, NAR007. And I remember Black Fly guys giving us a cassette. We thought it sounded like Blue Oyster Cult real fast. Hey, can we put this out? And in those days, Husker Du, if you wrote the song, you had to sing it. So this is MTC, which I think is maybe the Minneapolis Transit Corporation.
So, probably. And Metro Transit.
That's what it is. So it probably serves both towns. Yeah. Okay, across that river. And Husker Du. So Greg Norton singing it. He wrote it. And, it's about having to ride a bus or something. And then finally, Happy Apple. Starchild Cranium. Now, Starchild, everybody knows, is one of the stars of Mothership Connection, right? George Clinton. His alter ego's on that, and it's a beautiful album. I think that tour, they came out of this flying saucer that landed on this. They were signed to Casablanca. So, okay, look, to continue on, you get on the stand-up bass. Do you learn to read?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. How long did you do this? Do you do it all through school?
I did it all through school.
Oh, bitching.
Absolutely.
So Arco and Pescado?
Yeah.
Okay, German or French?
I did French.
Okay. It's an under over thing, people. The over.
That's right.
It's just a way of holding things. But, man, you know, humans, it can get particular.
And I guess, German French, so that's pretty. Yeah,
not
man,
true. Like you bring in all that kinds of stuff.
Pretty heated.
But this idea, you know, probably one technique works for some things and other technique for another. So like, it's all vocabulary. It's probably best to know it all, but that's tough. So you pick and choose. And so, now the stand up. I'm not talking about after school when you graduate, but in the afternoon, the basement band, the garage band, the bedroom band. Did you do that with stand-up?
No, at first it was drums.
Okay, so you're making little bands with your buddies after school, right? You're a drummer man, okay.
Yeah, that's why I'm like trying to make songs up off the top of my head and then just enlisting neighborhood kids to help me out, basically.
And they came to your pad to practice because you're the man in the rear with lots of gear?
Basically, yeah, that's where the drum set is. You got to come here.
Well, that means your fucking folks are pretty kind.
I can't believe they withstood
that. Right,
was
it like 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, right after school, you just got to start winding it up?
That's exactly what it was. Absolutely.
Now, do any of these bands have a name? And you weren't trying to copy off records. You're saying you had tunes that you were getting these cats to play?
I mean, this is like you're 10, 11, 12, No covers and just kind of screwing around and trying to figure out how it's done.
Any of them bands ever do gig?
No.
Just prac, yeah. That's the way me and D. Boone were before the movement, you know. No gigs.
Yeah.
You just did it to be with your buddies, right? Yeah. and pretty exactly. decent thing. So, so none of those garage basement bedroom bands did things. So, okay, you graduate high school. Do you move to higher education music?
No, no, I was kind of contemplating that, and I was going to try to go to Berklee College of Music.
You
but
didn't
just
want to be a Golden Gopher?
No, I ended up just moving to
Berklee School of Music. You're talking about the
Berklee School
thing. Yeah, okay.
Just kind of like more the jazz side of things and pursuing that, but I just ended up just kind of jumping into the scene in the Twin Cities.
Right, which was pretty strong, right?
Yeah, I mean, I was kind of in playing covers for a while.
Yeah, well, tell me about your first time joining a band that did gig. In fact, tell me your first gig.
Oh, man. Well, you know, man, if you don't count like orchestra stuff with school, those were first gigs for sure. Playing upright bass in those orchestra concerts.
Sure.
I would say playing drums when I was maybe about 12. I hooked up with these guys that were seniors in high school, and we just played like a street dance playing covers.
Okay. So that band was the cover band. Okay. And did they have a name?
Wow, I don't remember it. Okay. I have no idea what we were called. Oh, say that again?
Did you play with them long?
Yeah, until one of the members died about a year and a half later in a horrible accident.
That's terrible. I'm so sorry. And this was on the drum. So how did you keep it going, both instruments?
Well, you know, I got to do the bass in school.
You did the bass in school. Okay, I understand.
Well, and then I was taking guitar lessons.
Okay.
Kind of in between there. And so I was kind of just feeling it all out. You know, I thought.
You end up on guitar, right?
Bass and guitar. Really, it was bass.
Okay.
You
just made Watt really happy.
Well, that was the thing, man. It was eventually, as high school wore on, it was kind of one of those things where I played those three instruments, but everyone was always looking for a bass player.
Right. That's where the work is. In fact, that's where a lot of guitar guys went over to bass, like Joe Osborne or women like Carole King.
Right.
Not James Jamerson, though. He went from the stand-up to the electric. Now, when did you go to the electric?
When I was about maybe in eighth or ninth grade.
What'd you get?
I got some, I think it was called an encore or something. It was a jazz bass copy.
Okay. An amp?
I was PV powered.
First Minuteman is PV powered. I think the 400 with 215s. 300 watts of fucking noise.
Amazing. Yeah, that's the local music store was a PV dealer, so yeah. that's
this
how
is
that.
Mr. Marshall. Look, we're at the end of the first hour. November 30, 2021, edition Watt Peters, a special guest, Eric Franska. Hold tight for hour two. November 30, 2021, second hour of Watt Peters show. Up from Pedro Show, start off the second hour. Happy Apple. Youth oriented. Then, Jerome Brierton, Damon Smith duo. I like music and musicians. Gary Peacock in memoriam. Ian McComb after that with Plus, Minus. Balmas Prendon. Art, Lull, Ultra. And then Happy Apple. The world begins and ends in your comb over. Now, after playing with these cover bands and stuff, learning guitar in between already knowing drums and bass, when do you venture into your own music? Or at the time, did you have a four-track? Were you composing?
Friends, definitely I had four tracks. Yep. Definitely by high school, trying to write music and we found it was easier to record because it was too hard to keep a band together, even find people sometimes in a small town. And so, yeah, there were different friends that had four tracks, and that's what we did at probably more than gigging even.
Sure. And what about, it seems like you were like kind of side man, side mouse.
Yeah, well, I got asked to do a lot of different stuff. You know, I was playing bass in church.
But, really? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of rock and rollers are in singing church, you know.
I think yeah.
Because you can let the freak flag fly in certain ways. what? In any time you, in my opinion, anytime you do music, you're invested in the next time you do music. So it's never wasted.
Yeah.
Never wasted.
It's exactly right. It took, like doing gigs like that, I learned that young.
Yeah, you know what? I think it takes a living some life to appreciate that.
Yeah, I agree. Totally. Yeah.
And people who do half-ass, what if it's your last gig? You want to go out halfway? Fuck, always give it it all. You know, whatever.
And it's hard to remember that sometimes, but yeah, you are right.
No, we're talking ethics here, people, not aesthetics. Sometimes these things might not be happening, but the ethic is like it might be your last gig, so don't go half-ass. Go full mind.
Got it.
Right? Work the room. So, what about leaving your town? Did you get into touring?
Yeah, I did with, more so with Happy Apple finally, but, yeah, I did a little bit with, I had kind of, a hard rockish kind of mid-90s heavier rock thing that played around the Midwest a little bit, yeah.
Well, tell me about Happy Apple.
Happy Apple is a jazz trio from the Twin Cities, electric bass, drums, saxophone, and they were founded in 95 and 96, and I joined in at the end of 97.
Okay, you replaced somebody.
Say that again?
You replaced somebody. The band was already going, yeah.
There was an upright bass. There was acoustic bass. Originally, it was acoustic jazz, and they decided to kind of have a slight change of direction and have electric bass instead.
Yeah, were you guys aware of this SoCal band called Bazooka?
Yeah.
Right. It's Maroney on the drums, but great sax man. But he had Tony Atherton on the sax and a guy named Bill, I can't remember his last name, but on the bass. And they're interesting.
Nice.
Yeah, interesting instrumental band. So Happy Apple. So you were touring with them.
Yeah, we would play around. We went back and forth to New York a few times in the late 90s, early 2000s, and, you know, stopping in Chicago and Cleveland and Pittsburgh. And not massive tours, but getting out on the road a little bit, yeah.
And the material, was it the sax man?
All of us.
Oh, okay.
Each member writing, contributing songs.
Okay. So a real collab.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. You gave me this other stuff, Dave King Truck and Company.
Yes.
Okay, I want to play this Ice Princess.
just want to hold you close. You neglect the feminine, disrespect your indifference. Watch me spit on your privilege. I recommit to my own presence.
We'll be right back.
Ice Princess, Dave King Trucking Company. Then My Daddy Eat My Eyes with H's for heroin. Harrowing. Not heroin. That's loose though. Okay, Just Joy with her O. Get it? Not hero, right? Here. Or zero. Yeah. Some pun rock, right? And then Night Tramp, Dave King Trucking Company. Tell us about all things we need to know about Dave King Trucking Company.
Well, that was an outgrowth of Happy Apple. Dave King is the drummer.
Ah, okay. I love this. The drummer man starts a band.
Oh, yes. Dave King is a very powerful creative force. He's also a member of...
Right,
the,
and you can be that on any instrument, right? Why is it only just guitar and lead singers?
Yeah, well,
we've changed that with the punk movement, you know. But arena rock, man. Anyway, this is great. Tell me more.
And, you know, this is while Happy Apple is still going, still a member of that. We're still doing that. Dave's doing the Bad Plus. And he just had an
idea.
That's
right. That's where I know that name. Bad Plus.
That's right.
Which was we got to tell the listeners, that piano. In fact, he might have been on the show, or one of them was. But it was piano, bass, and drums.
Mm-hmm.
And a pretty smoking band. Pretty smoking band.
It is. Now they've just expanded to a quartet. They have guitar and tenor sax instead of piano now.
Okay. So tell me more about this kind of, I don't know, evolution or morph that Dave King did from Happy Apple to his trucking company.
Yeah, he wanted to have a guitar jazz thing again, and he wanted two tenor saxes and upright bass, and he just had kind of he wrote a whole bunch of material especially for those voices, and that's what you heard. So you get that explosive kind of rock guitar, grittier rock guitar, with kind of a traditional jazz acoustic setting as well.
Are you familiar with URB?
I am not.
Well, it's upright bass, right? But it's just a fucking neck, right? Because it's electric, so it don't need the whole body.
Uh-huh.
You ever see these things? They're just like big necks. Some of them will have a little piece of an outline of a body, if you're used to that. But it seems like they're a lot easier to carry around, but they probably sound... There's nothing like old wood, right?
It's hard to duplicate that.
Yeah. Yeah. I just put a 51 P-Bass pickup in a Thunderbird, and I roll off the tone, but it still ain't that.
but that's a pretty good bridge, man. You know, that would get in the zone, at least.
And how you meet Greg Norton?
Greg came out to a Bad Plus show.
Okay.
Dave King, the drummer.
Sure.
And Dave... they struck up a friendship, and they decided at some point to get together and play, and they called me, and Greg and Dave and myself got together, just threw around some ideas in a practice space, and that was that.
That's what became the Gang Font?
Yes, exactly
so
right.
There was no Gang Font before. It was you guys, all three, coming together. Okay.
Yeah. Yep.
Interesting.
And then we added a keyboardist, Craig Taborn, eventually. And so it was a trio, but then there was always a keyboardist, too.
You know, I always thought he was really important in Hoos. I know Grant and, you know, Bob wrote all a lot of the tunes, especially later on, but there was something about Greg's bass playing. I remember writing a song for Edward when Edward came, you know, we started up that fire hose thing, and he showed me this song. And it was called Choose Any Memory. And I said to myself, I'm going to write, because I got a feeling of Hoos for some reason, you know. I don't know why, but I'm going to write a Greg Norton bass line. And I think I kind of did, maybe. Maybe I'm the only guy who thinks so. But
I love Fire Hose, man. Fire Hose, I loved that band.
That was a hard time for me, man. I had to get back on the saddle and... Thank Edward and Georgie. Fuck. Georgie, yeah. 14 years.
Amazing.
Yeah, really. We're going to do an Unknown Instructor fifth album pretty soon with Joe Bison and Jay Maskis.
Beautiful.
But so it came to Game Front came together that fucking easy, huh? So it was
absolutely
okay. It was Dave and Greg, and then they asked you, but really it was all three of you coming together, and it was like what, some big jams at first.
Yeah, we actually, Dave and I brought in some little ideas, and we just said, hey, just showed them to each other and just kind of played them, and it fell into place.
Yeah, yeah. Sometimes that's the way it happens. Huh? It's a trip. Other times you have to work so hard, and it's always forced. Other times it just fucking falls right together. Life is
more often than not, I think things fall together if you select the right.
Have you stopped getting in the way of yourself?
Well, that too, and also just a combo of people a lot of times.
Yeah, really. Of course, I think that's a big
role, man.
Exactly right, Eric. Chemistry. Like that Suburbs had that song, Chemistry Set, right? You got, I'm into chemistry, and that's about it. That little red record. Look, we're at the end of the second hour, November 30, 2021 edition, Watt Pedo Show. Hold tight for special guest, Eric Fraskin. Hold tight for hour three. November 30, 2021, it's the third hour of the Watt Pedo Show. Pedro Show. Start off the third hour. Zebulon Pike with Space is the Corpse of Time. A little pronouncement rock there. And the Silver Mike Zion Memorial Orchestra and Tra-La-La Band with Could Have Moved Mountains. Yes. And Zebulon Pike, Aztec Parallels. Off air, people, we were talking about some other Twin City kind of jazz trio. Mr. Chan Pollock, because I was thinking of that Suburbs tune, and he was on the show a couple months ago. Great cat. I knew him because they did a gig here, right, when he was going to Cal Arts. They knew the Suburban Lawns. And so I saw Suburbs. He had this fucking yellow raincoat on the back with electrical tape that just had big old cock and then hard, And then the pants were made out of, like, sacks when you go to the dry cleaner, so balls and everything hanging out and shit. Yeah. And I think Beach was playing with dildos and had dildos on the thing. Yeah, they were a trip. They were a trip. And then they got kind of new wave. But that
stuff
was fucking so intense. Minutemen was a huge Suburbs fan. Anyway, tell us about Zebulon Pike.
Oh, Zebulon Pike is my instrumental metal band.
So you're the shot caller.
Yes. Yes. That's right. I'm playing guitar in that band.
Okay, okay.
And writing all the stuff and
bass parts?
Well, I mean, not exactly. Okay. But you know how it is. I mean, like, you write a guitar part.
I totally know it is. You think I wrote every drum fill for Georgie?
Right.
You think I wrote every guitar solo for T-Bone?
No, yeah, exactly, right.
But I provided some launch pads and some spring boards.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, that's exactly probably what you're doing. Yeah, yeah. So how long has Zebulon Pike been going?
That band started in 2002.
Oh, okay, so it's ongoing.
Yeah, that band just ended, and we just released our final kind of EP record thing just a couple months ago.
Damn. So another chapter.
Another chapter, that's right.
Because this one now is a previous chapter. Okay. Let's give credit to the cat. Who else was in the band?
Morgan Burkus was the other guitarist. Eric Bowen played drums. Yeah. He's a longtime cohort of mine. And Tom Berg was the bassist.
Okay. Okay, and it just ran out of gas?
Yeah, I mean, really, that's what it was.
Yeah, things happen like that. It's not a hate thing or anything, right? It just runs out of
gas.
And who knows down the road, right? Reboot or some shit.
That would be great.
You never know. You never know.
That's right.
Now, what about this project? I mean, you put your name on. When I put my name in my bands, you know Watt's written everything because I want you to know who to blame.
Right.
If it's got just a name, way out, maybe that's kind of a, I don't know, coming together of things. But if my name's in there, yeah, blame him. Don't blame the other guy. Okay, so this is Air France's Fake Accent. And with Health House. Interesting. Let's listen.
Thank you.
last music for this edition. Eric Fresco's Fake Action with Health House, then the Alley Cats, going way back, except this is a more modern version. But still, it's Randy Stadola singing it. He told me about a gig when the Alley Cats, I think it was 1980, they played First Avenue. And Bobby Dylan came to the gig, and he said he helped him with his amp. He's like, Bobby Dylan helped you load your fucking amp. Yeah, and then Eric Fresco's Fake Action was Secular Exorcist, of course, what other kind is there? You know, it's like saying assless chaps, right? The other kind.
I love
tell
it.
Tell me, enlighten us here, Eric.
You want to hear a little bit about Fake Accent?
I want to hear all of it.
Well, that, you know, kind of like been doing Happy Apple, been doing Jazz Trio, and I have Zebulon Pike going kind of a metal thing, and a few other similar projects, and I just wanted to kind of combine all of those sounds and some weirder ideas that I've been having for over the past decade and just throw them all together and see what happens.
Okay, like a schmoz. Like all the wrestlers show up, but nobody wrote a script, so they just got to, like, fucking improvise, right?
That's right.
Whoa. What is it mainly a recording band, or does it do gigs?
No, we've been playing a little bit, and I hope to definitely do some road work.
Well, tell me about what was the first gig like?
See, first gig was at a cool place in the Twin Cities called Jazz Central.
Uh-huh.
Just a basement jazz club. Yeah. And
you know what they call those in France?
What do we call those?
Cave. And the way we spell it is really what it is, cave.
Yeah, this would be a jazz cave for sure.
Yeah, they're like usually the wine cellar or some shit. They made them into clubs. They called them caves.
And we were just working it out. We had a few tunes. We rehearsed for a little while, and we did some improvising. And we wanted
when you do compositions, who cooks them up? Is it you?
Oh yeah.
So again, you're the shot caller.
On that one for sure.
Yeah, because you know life's about taking turns, right? I thought about this thing called sidemanitis. And sure, you can serve as a lifestyle, but man, those dudes get so frustrated. There's got to be times when you're the shot caller.
It's good to have a little balance, you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, I think life's... Look, notice you don't always inhale, you don't always exhale.
That's right.
You take turns. Anyway, that's just some philosophy. Let's get back to reality and your thing here. So that first gig at the jazz... At the Cove.
At the Cove, that's right.
Jazz...
Jazz Central.
Right. And it was a success.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, we wanted to see. We had been rehearsing for a while, and we hadn't played it live for anyone yet. So it was that thing of like, well, let's see. Like you said, get back to reality. Let's get back to reality and see if it floats.
Well, you know, there's the prac that you do with your guys, and you got to do that. But the real prac is gigs. Doing them in front of people, right? That's the real prac, I think. Thank you, the good folks of ISP Provider Choice None World. But I got Eric back, and Bandcamp, Eric, I've been saying his name wrong the whole show, Eric Fransky. Okay?
But I like you're doing the German pronunciation.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Old world pronunciation, I like that.
Okay. Yeah, right things come over here, and it's like, you know where it gets really fucked up? Pepperoni and... Bell pepper. I mean, we got a lot of people in both lands that know each other. I mean, hey, the pepperoni is the spicy sausage. Yeah, the bell pepper. Yeah, anyway. So, Eric Fransky at thebandcamp.com place, people, and there's a lot of music there. We're talking, while we're trying to get things back together, his ongoing bands are still the Happy Apple. These are fucking bitching associations with Dave King, the stick man with the beat in his hand. The Dave King trucking company still going. There ain't any more Gang Font, but there is a second album that was never released, and that might come out. And the Zebulon Pike, even though it's no more, they just released their final memoriam. It's the twin monarchy, people. It ain't one monarchy. It's twin.
Nice.
If there was never a better metaphor for a twin guitarist band, maybe dual monarchy is that name. And you know, what has music taught you, Eric? All this journey that you've had since that you destroying that fucking toy drum set.
Oh, man, you got to keep going and be dedicated. And you got to listen and play every day. You got to be dedicated. And really, that's the main thing.
You mean if you don't use it, you'll lose it?
Yeah, but it's also just staying connected to yourself and your creativity as well.
Ah, understood. And that's probably a journey in itself.
Oh, yes.
Okay, that's beautiful advice. A big honor to have you on the show. You ever got any other stuff that you want to bring? Invite's always open to you, Eric, right?
Thank you, sir.
Play it, and we'll talk about it, and I'm sure you'll have a buttload of stories to go with it.
I look forward to it.
Yeah, me too.
Thanks for having me.
People, it's been the November 30, 2021 Dishawak Pedro Show. Keep your powder dry.